Chapter 8.
What are you doing?
Stacy shouted as the carpet soared higher into the night sky. She looked back at the shrinking house, then up at the bright full moon. A thought occurred to her.
Is this like an Aladdin thing? 'Cause that's really sweet, but...
Something's wrong with Ravenous, said Julian. We have to find him.
What's wrong with him?
I don't know.
And how do you know anything's wrong with him?
We can sense each other's feelings, said Julian. Right now, he's terrified and confined.
He lowered the carpet until they were gliding just above the trees. He peered down into gaps in the foliage. It was clear that he had no idea where to look.
What if Mordred's got him?
Then I'll kick his ass.
With what? Said Stacy. A stick?
I'll figure it out when we find Ravenous.
What was that about you needing to recharge your spells or whatever?
I need to spend 15 minutes concentrating, and I get all my spells back.
Then do it, said Stacy. I'll drive.
You know how to fly this thing?
I'm awesome, remember?
But you don't know where to go.
Neither do you, but I know how to optimize the search so we can cover more visible ground in less time.
She was mostly talking bullshit, but Julian didn't know that. Julian nodded.
That sounds good. Okay, let's switch positions.
Stacy crawled to the front of the carpet and grabbed the two front tassels. After a shaky start, she got a feel for how to steer, how to ascend and descend, and how to adjust the speed. She looked back. Julian's eyes were glazed over. He'd either put his faith entirely in her and was now in a trance, or he'd somehow managed to get stoned in the time it had taken her to get the hang of flying. She hadn't been talking out of her ass completely. They'd be able to see a lot more over open ground than they would with this needle in a haystack peeking through the trees bullshit. That wouldn't help them if Ravenous's captor was actually hiding in the woods, but as long as they had no idea where to look, it was the more logical option. Stacy raised the carpet and made for the main road. The forest was kept clear for about 10 meters on either side. Spotting nothing noteworthy upon first reaching the road, she was forced to choose a direction. If the captors were heading north, back toward Cardinia, finding Ravenous would be next to impossible once they reached the city. So that was the direction she chose. If she was wrong, she could always double back and hope there wasn't another large city further south. She traveled low, flying just a few feet above the road. It felt safer that way. The carpet they were flying on was no doubt very valuable, and there was no point in giving the whole world a big flying target to shoot out of the sky. Anyway, she might get lucky and spot a campfire through the trees that the bird's captors had carelessly lit too close to the forest edge. Squinting, she peered into the forest on her left, trying to spot any hint of a light source. No such luck. She turned her attention back to the road ahead of her and nearly had a heart attack. The beast running at them from the 2 o'clock position looked like Sweetums, the giant shaggy ogre from the Muppets. But in place of Sweetums' bulbous orange nose and pouty lower lip, this thing had a beak. When they made eye contact, the creature let out a roar that was something between a goose and Chewbacca. Stacy pulled up on the fringe at the front of the rug just in time to avoid the beast's massive clawed hands.
What the fuck was that?
She said after settling on a higher cruising altitude. When Julian didn't respond, Stacy looked over her shoulder, fearing he'd fallen off the back, but he was still there, his concentration unbroken, blissfully unaware that they had nearly been torn apart by some furry-beaked nightmare. The creature howled after them. Looking past Julian, Stacy saw that it was still trying to chase them despite the carpet being faster and well out of its reach. Ferocious thing, for sure, but none too bright. Stacy's heart had only just gotten back to its normal rhythm when Julian spoke up.
Turn us around!
Stacy looked back at him.
That wasn't 15 minutes!
I had to break my concentration because we're heading in the wrong direction. Please turn around!
There was desperation in his voice. He didn't like giving direct orders. Stacy veered left, then swung the carpet around in a wide arc to the right, making a light bulb pattern before straightening out southward along the road.
How do you know we're going the wrong way?
Because I can't feel Ravenous anymore. He's gone.
You don't mean he's...
Julian shook his head.
I don't think so. I think he's just out of range. We'll know soon enough.
When she got to the point where Julian had told her to turn around, Stacy was impressed with herself for having made a mental note of exactly where that point was.
Do you feel him yet?
Julian shook his head. Stacy smiled.
That means he's moving southward, probably along this road.
Or dead. She increased the carpet's speed to as fast as it would go, keeping a wary eye out for the bear bird monster as they flew over the spot where she'd encountered it. There was no sign of it. She chose not to mention the encounter to Julian. He had enough on his mind. While Stacy had every expectation that Julian would alert her as soon as he felt his bird's presence again, she kept glancing back at him, just to make sure. Each time he looked a little more worried than the last.
"I've got him,"
he finally said. Stacy nodded and did some quick math in her head.
"If both we and Ravenous maintain our current velocities, you should have just enough time to get your spells back before we catch up to him. I recommend you do that."
Julian went back to his meditative state, and Stacy flew the carpet just above the treetops, maintaining full visibility of the road on her left. Whenever the road curved, Stacy cut across the trees, picking up what precious few seconds she could. Having a rough idea of how far away the bird was, Stacy kept her attention on avoiding danger. She scanned both the ground and sky for signs of monsters. While she was thankful not to see anything in the air, she was kind of disappointed not to spot any terrestrial creatures. Now that she knew better than to fly so close to the ground, she would have liked to get another look at Sweetums.
"I've got some good news," said Julian after a few more minutes had passed, "and I've got some bad news."
"What's the good news?"
said Stacy, feeling they could really use some. Now that 15 minutes had passed, it was time to start looking for Ravenous. She took the carpet up a little higher to get a better view of the road ahead.
"I think I'm a third-level sorcerer now."
"Congratulations. What's the bad news?"
"I'm still limited to first-level spells."
Stacy shrugged. As bad news goes, this wasn't so bad.
"If you're third level, why can't you cast third-level spells?"
"Spell levels are different from caster levels."
"That seems unnecessarily complicated."
"I know, right?"
"So how do you know you leveled up?"
"Because I was able to prepare one more first-level spell than I could before."
"Cool. What'd you get?"
"A couple of mount spells, and I filled up the rest with magic missiles."
Magic missiles sounded cool.
"So what's the plan?"
"We find Mordred, and I blast the shit out of him with magic missiles. If he's a level 1 character, he should be easy enough to take down."
"Don't we need him alive?"
"You don't truly die until you reach negative 10 hit points, but you fall unconscious at 0. Since a magic missile only does a maximum of 5 points of damage, I figure it'll be impossible to kill him outright as long as I stop shooting him as soon as he drops."
"That sounds pretty lame for something called magic missile."
"I thought so too."
"Look,"
said Stacy, pointing down at the road ahead of them. A covered wagon pulled by 2 horses was making its way southward down the road. Julian put his hand on Stacy's shoulder and leaned over for a look. He smelled like nutmeg, which was surprising given the filthy state of his clothes.
"Let's try to get a closer look before we're spotted."
Just as Stacy pushed down on the front of the carpet, a flash of white light shone from the back of the wagon. A glowing orange bead shot out like a bottle rocket, heading in a trajectory that would have intercepted them if they had maintained their previous cruising altitude. The night sky lit up like the sun had just exploded 30 feet above their heads. The heat and force from the shockwave was tremendous. The carpet shook violently but remained airborne. Stacy did a quick check to make sure that neither she nor Julian nor the carpet was on fire.
"I don't know. We may have been spotted. What do you think?"
Julian narrowed his eyes.
"Take us down."
He wasn't normally the angry sort. Not like Tim. That's what Stacy liked about him. He bumbled his way through ridiculous situations with childlike curiosity and wonder. Life hadn't yet worn him down like it had the others. In the short time they'd been acquainted, she didn't recall ever seeing a spot of malice in his heart. Until now. She took the carpet down as Julian had requested, but in the back of her mind, she wondered if she'd put any thought into this, or if an equally childlike sense of immortality was causing him to recklessly endanger both of their lives to save his pet bird. The road curved to the right just ahead, allowing Stacy to cut across the treetops and close a bit more of the gap between them. As they drew closer to the wagon, she counted at least 4 sets of legs through the flapping canvas. A driver brought the minimum body count to 5, not including the bird. If one of these people was Mordred, and not just some random bird napper, he wasn't alone. Strangely enough, none of the passengers she could see in the back of the wagon seemed the least bit concerned about being chased. All of the legs sat as still as statues.
"Don't shoot anyone until you know which one's Mordred," said Stacy.
The horses pulling the wagon picked up their pace when the road straightened out again. Stacy felt like they might be losing ground.
"Come on, you fat bastard," said Julian. "Show yourself."
An elf seated on the left side of the wagon pulled back the canvas flap and smiled at them. He wore black linen robes, the same style Julian wore under his serape, but they looked like they'd just come back from the laundry, not a smudge or tear on them. The same went for his silky blonde hair, carefully styled to look tastefully disheveled. The combination of that and his cold blue eyes made him look like the frontman for an Aryan boy band. He might have been handsome if Stacy couldn't see right through him.
"Mordred!" shouted Julian. "Just give me Ravenous, and I'll let you go!"
Smile unwavering, the elf pointed a small wand at them.
"Shit!" said Stacy. "Lie flat and hold on!"
Stacy knew that both their lives depended on her timing and successfully not telegraphing her next move. She glared at the elf like she was coming to get him, wand be damned. Then, just as she sensed he was about to fire, she yanked up one corner of the carpet as hard as she could, sending them into a corkscrew spiral through the center of which passed another glowing orange bead. Once they were right side up again, Stacy looked back just in time to see the explosion. The spell detonated far enough behind them that she felt no increase in temperature and barely a tremor in the carpet.
"Magic missile!" said Julian.
A golden arrow of light shot out of his open palm and soared through the air until it struck the torso of the elf, who didn't so much as flinch as green bolts of electricity crawled over his body from the point of impact.
"Nice shot," said Stacy,
thinking it wouldn't be unreasonable to expect a similar recognition of her sweet carpet-driving skills. Julian frowned.
"It didn't hit him."
"Sure it did."
"We're losing him," said Julian. "Can't this thing go any faster?"
This was not the recognition of her carpet-driving skills that Stacy had in mind.
"This is as fast as it goes. We'll get them. Those horses can't keep up this pace forever."
"Horse!" cried Julian. "Brilliant!"
Thanks?
"Do you remember how much time passed between those two fireballs?"
"About a minute and 47 seconds."
"About?"
Stacy smiled and shrugged.
"And how much time has passed since that last fireball?"
26 seconds.
"It'll be close."
Julian turned and looked at the ground.
"Horse!"
he cried again. Out of the corner of her eye, Stacy thought she saw something whiz by. She looked behind them and was surprised to see that a brown and white speckled horse was standing on the side of the road, getting farther and farther away as they kept flying, veering off to the left with the curve of the road. Then Julian whistled. The horse broke into a full gallop and rapidly began to catch up with the carpet.
"Stacy, steer!"
Stacy faced forward. With her attention on the unexpected horse, she had neglected to keep the carpet over the road, further widening the gap between them and the wagon. Julian got on his feet in a squatting, steadying himself on a surfboard position, his eyes fixed on the approaching horse.
"Julian," said Stacy, "what do you think you're doing?"
"I'm going to get Ravenous."
"Come on, Julian," pleaded Stacy. "Think this through. If we stay on the carpet, I might be able to keep dodging his spells. You can't dodge shit on a horse."
Julian gave her a quick glance and a smile.
"If I can get close enough, he won't be able to use his fireballs without them blowing up in his own face. There's obviously a lag time between uses, or he would have been blasting us with them a lot more frequently."
Julian's theory made some kind of sense, and it was too late to reason with him anyway. Julian readied himself as the horse caught up to the carpet, then jumped onto the horse's back. Oddly enough, the mysterious horse was already equipped with a saddle and bridle. Stacy focused her attention back at the elf they suspected to be Mordred. The Mordred elf appeared to come out of some sort of trance. That must be an elf thing. The smug expression that had been frozen on his face turned into one of alarm as he saw Julian on horseback pulling ahead of the carpet. He leveled his wand at Julian.
"Shit!"
said Julian. That was not what Stacy had wanted to hear. Doing a bit of math in her head, Stacy calculated, based on the approximate size of the previous two fireballs, that the one about to hit Julian was easily going to engulf her as well. She couldn't save Julian, so she did the only thing she could. She rolled the carpet around her body like a burrito and braced herself for a great deal of pain.